I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 96, and today, Aiden Curry, Texas Rangers pitcher in the minor leagues. He's in Hickory right now. He started out in down East in another one of those 2020 from that year 2020 of the COVID. He'll be joining us here in a little bit, but we've got to go to the big league stuff. Last week, for the first time, I said, not good.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I would be able to say this, but it's even worse. It's even worse than what it was last week.
It sure is.
What happened Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Look, the Rangers aren't out of it. They still have an opportunity. They're, I think, a half a game out of the playoffs. Of that second wild card. But this team is not playing like a team going to the playoffs.
They're not. This is the worst they've played all season. It's the worst they've played. Shoot, I mean, I guess you could go back to last year. At some point, they had to have a stretch like this, and the year before that, it just. You know, it's a formula where nothing is going right.
No.
If something does go right, then like if the offense scores five runs, then something breaks down, either the rotation or the bullpen or both. And so you saw that in Monday's game on Labor Day against the Astros.
They jumped out to a lead.
They had a 3-0 lead. Andrew Heaney couldn't hold it. He got tired because he gets to 80 pitches and that's it.
Yeah.
And they tried to get that last out, couldn't do it. Rangers immediately retake the lead on a Corey Seager second homer of the game. Glenn Otto, who's no longer with the organization.
Glenn Otto of the San Diego Padres.
That's right. He coughs the lead right back up. Garver hits a home run, ties it up. They turn to Josh Spores, which has been a disaster of late, and that was it. That was the game, And you can say, oh well, Corey Seager's error made it worse, and yeah, it didn't help. But Seager's been really good defensively this year. But the point is that nothing's gone right.
Nothing.
And then the last two games were a fiasco. I mean, that's there's no other way to say it.
Well, and then you had Eovaldi coming out the next day, and in Eovaldi's defense. He never got a rehab start nor did he throw to any hitters. He just went out and did bullpens. And this is a guy that says, you know what? If I can go out and give you a couple of innings, let's go. And we just all assumed exactly what was going to happen. He'll come out, maybe get one or two, maybe three, depending on how it goes. Then you'll have Dunning to come in and piggyback off of him, and you don't have to worry about the bullpen if those two together could be anything like they are normally. Yeah. You expected maybe a run or something to get, or a couple of runs to get in there, but those guys hold you there. He goes out. Can't even hardly get out of he can't get out of the second inning. And that's look, he is not going to be that way the rest of the year.
Well, I mean he'll be better, but he's not gonna pitch seven innings on Monday.
No, he's not.
He's basically on a spring training schedule.
Yeah.
You know, the first start every spring is two innings or thirty pitches, and he hit 35 pitches there in the second inning. That was that. So this week will be three and 45 or 3 and 50, and we'll see what happens. But
and then Dunning comes in and just spits the bit too.
He wasn't very good, yeah. And so, you know, the sad thing is that their best reliever has been Cody Bradford, which isn't sad, but then their other best reliever has been Austin Hedges, the catcher. You know, and he picked back-to-back games, you know, didn't 1 2/3 scoreless innings, throwing about 55 or 60 and getting the job done. So, obviously, Bruce Bochy hates using position players to pitch, but that's just where the team is right now. The bullpen is
he doesn't trust anybody.
The good guys, good in air quotes, are overworked. And then the rest, they're just pitching like crap. I mean, there's just no other way to say it.
No.
You know, I mean,
Bochy said it perfectly when he said, it's okay to make a mistake, but when your mistakes are not staying in the yard, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And they're not. And look, hats off. I hate to say it, but Jose Altuve, what he did, those two games, hitting 5 home runs and 6 at-bats.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break. I mean, you know what? Pitchers made mistakes. He did not miss the mistakes.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And I look. I'm a Ranger homer. I admit it. I hate losing to the Astros, but they came in and asserted dominance and said, "We are still the team in the American League West." And I know we have been shit for part of the year, but we're back. And you know what? Texas could get on a run, and maybe they get in the playoffs. Things change in who you use, and maybe they face up. But right now they got to concentrate on Toronto.
Yeah.
And they've got to concentrate on winning against Oakland this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you can do because Wednesday was even worse. You bring your guy that's supposed to stop any skid. He comes out and gives up a grand slam. He goes down 7-0 to the Astros, who just had batting practice.
Yeah, it was, you know, they hit 16 home runs. They scored 39 runs. They had 50 hits. And, excuse me, if I'm not mistaken, that's an MLB record for a three-game series.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's throwing salt on the wound, you know, and then – you know, Scherzer, you know, when we recorded last week, he started that night, pitched well, then afterwards says, hey, got a little forearm tightness. And
freaked the world out.
Yeah, and then he only goes 3 innings.
He did not say that was a problem this time, though.
Yeah, he didn't. He said he was having trouble getting through the ball, but then he said everybody's dealing with something this time of year. He explained that it's not an injury. That rest will help, so he expects to be better on his next start
with an extra day's
rest, and he only threw 3 innings against the Astros, so that combined should make him more effective in his mind, at least. But, you know, you're like, oh, great, this guy's hurt. He says he's not hurt. This guy's dealing with something. You just got him, you know, and you traded one of your top prospects for him. You expect him to be in the rotation next year. Is he going to get through the season? You know, and so, I mean, there are a lot of things. And Adolis Garcia goes and gets hurt trying to rob one of those 3 home runs that Scherzer gave up, which leads us to
the big news that's going
on.
We're going to be out there today.
The big news is that Adolis Garcia is hurt. He may return this season.
Luckily, the injury wasn't
as bad as they thought it might be. So that's good. And to replace him, the Rangers are bringing up Evan Carter, top prospect.
Yes. Good for him. We love Evan. He's been a friend of the show for sure, and been on twice. But that was fantastic. But good Lord, he's going to get a chance.
Yeah, you know, last week we talked about this kind of extensively, and I was like, no, the Rangers aren't going to call him up. I don't know if I said barring an injury like this. Even then, I thought that they would still be they'd still not want to do it. But here he is, and you know, I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to give good at bats. He's going to see, you know, even from a. I don't, you know, these A's are pretty bad. Paul Blackburn's having a decent
year. Who they face tonight.
Year. He was an all-star last year, I think, or the year before. He's striking out more guys than he has. But so he might give some give you some trouble. But then honestly, he's probably gonna see some pitchers that he's seen in the minor leagues. You know, because the double A affiliate is for the A's is Midland. And you know, I'm gonna guess that Evan saw some of these guys either earlier this year, maybe late last year. I don't know if they ever faced Midland in his week that he got called up, but there's going to be a little familiarity. It's going to be the, you know, when he goes to face the Blue Jays in Canada, a place he's never been.
Yes.
You know, so
the Kentucky boy goes to Canada.
Tennessee.
But I said Kentucky, it just sounds better.
He's being thrown into a pennant race, B, replacing a guy that has the American League lead in RBIs, and then C, there's going to be a whole new experience for
him.
He's never been to Toronto and played in the
Sky Dome. He's never traveled like he's about to travel.
Never been to Cleveland. Never traveled like he's had to. They're going to come home. Then he's going to go back on the road to two new places. And who knows? You know, that last series, Garcia may or may not be back. But it's going to be it could be a high pressure, final 7 to 10 games for this guy. I mean, and he's going to be feeling the pressure anyway. So the good news is he's got a great head on his shoulders.
Oh my gosh,
he'll
be amped tonight. That'll happen. We may see him swing a little more than he normally does, just because that's the way he is. But I tell you what, guys, if he comes up and starts out 0-7 or 0-10, it is not a failure.
Right.
This is a kid.
Don't worry about it.
This is a kid that probably shouldn't be up here right now, but I'm excited he's up here. I'll be honest with you, and I even thought if nobody had gotten hurt, if the bottom of the lineup continued to do what it was doing, maybe in a week or so, if he was – look, he had an over 850 OPS or 900 OPS at AAA. He was hitting over 300 at AAA, but it had only been a week that he had been up there.
Been 8 games.
Been 8 games. Then why not? Maybe do what they did with Josh Young. People have talked about that. Come up and take a couple weeks just to get acclimated to what it's like, because more than likely he's got a great shot to make the team out of spring training.
Seems like it, yeah.
So he might have come up, and everybody has dogged me about, well, what do you think now, Evan Carter? You said he shouldn't come up. Now it is. I said, I immediately, when Adolis got hurt, I tweeted out and said, if he's hurt and he's on the IL, I think this affords an opportunity for maybe to see Evan Carter.
Yeah, I think it would have taken something extraordinary, and something extraordinary has kind of happened. I mean, a couple of extraordinary things have happened.
Yep.
Adolis is hurt, and the Rangers aren't scoring like they were.
This kid has never gone up to any level and failed miserably. Now, he has not faced major league pitching like he is about to. It's kind of good that the A's are the team he's going to face. Like you said, he might be facing some of those. He's not going to hit at the top of the lineup. He's going to hit at the bottom of the lineup. Why would they do that to him? They're not going to put him at the top. Like, everybody sees him as a potential leadoff hitter. Yeah. I do too, quite honestly. But he's not going to do that right now. And, you know, he may come – hey, and if he comes out and goes 7-10 with 3 home runs over the weekend, again – that's not the guy you're going to have for a full season. He is a good Major League Baseball player who could be a stable outfielder for this team for the next 7 to 10 years.
Sure.
Truthfully.
Yeah.
And they've got another one coming right up the pike. Wyatt Langford is even more impressive than he is at every level he's coming up. But they're not going to bring up Langford this year.
No.
And he is going to start next year in the minor leagues. I don't care what kind of spring he has. They're going to start him at Double A probably.
Yeah, I would think so. That's where he is now. That's where he's going to finish. I think that, you know, if we're going to talk about Carter's future, I think he has a very good chance to open next season on the roster. I don't know if they would move him to center and move Tavares to left. They don't have a left fielder for next year. So that's one opening. I mean, Tavares, you know, I wrote this today in the daily newsletter, RangersToday.com, which you can subscribe to for $5.99 a month or $60 for the year. Leody Tavares right now is above, an above replacement player. His WAR is 1.7. His OPS plus is below average slightly at 95. But with his base ceiling, his base running, and his defense, this is a really good player.
Right.
He can switch hit. He's proven to be pretty durable. You know, this is the most he's ever played. There are a lot of...
He tends to get himself out of slumps. He'll go in a little slump and then all of a sudden come out of it.
He's been performing better. Now, that doesn't mean that the Rangers can't do better right now, but I think that Leody Taveras is going to be on the team next year. Unless they...
Maybe he's the fourth outfielder.
Maybe, but I don't think you would keep a guy who's that good defensively and can do as much as he does on the bench. One thing that could help the pitching staff, which is going to have some holes to fill, is having an outfield of three studs.
And, you know, can run
Adolis is a very good defensive outfielder. Leody Taveras is very good, and Evan Carter on is very good too. Yes. So, that's one way to help the pitching staff. It's one way to help the offense with a Carter, who in theory will be getting on base more. But I think this is the beginning of Evan Carter's major league career. I think he's done in the minor leagues. Unless he just looks like
he's overmatched.
Dog if
he's
crap just, at spring training.
Or gets injured.
Josh Young wasn't great last year when he came up. Yeah. Josh Young hit 205, I think.
He led off his career with a home run and then hit about 205.
Yeah.
Yeah, Evan Carter is what he is. And you know what? Here's the truth of the matter. He cannot be any worse than what they're getting at the bottom of the lineup right now.
Yeah.
And he is 21 years old, and he is a potential future all-star on this team. He may not be. He may just be a good player. He may be like a McCormick down in Houston, where he's just a great player that is a – thorn in someone's side and does well and hits above 260 and has about 20 home runs and is just gets on base a lot. That's the main thing. His job's to get on base.
Yeah. The Astros, their lineup's so deep. And, without Leody Taveras and Josh Young now, Adolis Garcia and Josh Young now, those are two huge holes. This Josh Young thing, you can – look back and say, who's the American League Rookie of the Year? Look what the Rangers have done without Josh Young. They haven't done, anything much.
Nope.
I really think that if somebody's going to take a deep look at this Rookie of the Year race, they would say, Rangers were crap without Josh Young.
They have to look at that.
How valuable is this guy? So,
and he's going to end the year probably in the big leagues. So
he isn't swinging a bat yet. He hopes to be doing that.
This week was dry swings.
This week, and then maybe he's got some range of motion. The thumb looks terrible. It looks awful.
Yeah, we saw that the other day.
And
got a big scar right there.
It's swollen, and
he was moving it more. He was able to go over and touch there.
And that's fine. But he said it's not going to be healed until well into the off season.
Right.
So that makes me wonder, well, is he going to have a normal off season? Probably not. How does that affect him getting ready for next year?
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is he has been missed more than any I don't know. The Rangers obviously have missed Eovaldi this second half.
Right.
He's only made two starts or one and a half starts.
They've had a great DeGrom season without.
DeGrom has been missed, but they were doing okay without him.
Right.
The one thing that you can never predict is injuries.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that Chris Young was most fearful of. I talked to him in May, I think it was, and he said then, I'm just worried about the injuries. The depth hasn't developed like they thought it would. That's the bullpen options. That's why Ian Kennedy is up. He made the opening day roster. they released him.
Yeah.
And then he re-signed a minor league contract, and here he is again.
And he just lingered around. I actually forgot he was down there.
It's really interesting, So I don't know. The team is just not in a good spot, and maybe Evan Carter helps that. Maybe he doesn't. But
he is not the savior. So everybody, chill out.
The Rangers are I don't want to say grasping for straws, but I don't want to call this is kind of a desperation move. The Diamondbacks called up Jordan Lawler. The 2021 sixth rounder from Dallas Jesuit.
Number six pick, not six rounder.
Yeah.
Number six overall pick.
Number six pick. and four picks after Jack Leiter.
By the way, we'll talk about Jack in a little
anyway, bit. It just seems like this is the time of year where teams are trying to pull out the last stops, and I don't know that the Rangers have any more in them after this one.
Here's what I've said all along. If they somehow survive this and make the playoffs somehow, it changes everything. First of all, your starting rotation is no longer five people. It's usually at the most four. That's if you go in deep in a series. Usually three, because with the days off and the travel, you can bring someone back.
Yeah.
That means two of those guys can go to the bullpen. You can go to some of these guys at the back end who can help your bullpen. And it changes you. It changes what happens. Now, the one thing the Rangers do not have and have not had all season is a true shutdown closer. They just don't have one. I know it's supposed to be Chapman, but he can't go more than one day.
Right.
So, you know, that's not a closer. Closer guy that goes out and goes three or four in a row, and then finally you're like, you know what? We can't use you today. And hopefully you're not having to go save five games in a row. That shows your deficiencies if you're having to save five games in a row.
Yeah.
One way or the other. But they don't have the shutdown closer. They just don't. And so maybe one of these guys steps in to do that. You would, you know, coming in from there. But, you know, they have a chance. Oakland's a big opportunity for them to go in and do that to Oakland. I get Toronto's playing Kansas City. Is that right?
It's
going to come down to them just playing each other for those games.
They have to play well.
Is it four?
It's four. They have to play well in those games.
Yeah, they need to win series. They have to win the series there they need to win this weekend too.
Right, right. I mean, they need to get healthy this weekend against the A's, who've been playing a little bit better. But they really need to. Be as good as they can be, whatever that is at this point against the Blue Jays.
Last question before we get out of here. It hasn't happened yet. We've been trying to watch. There's going to be a 40-man move.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think? And someone made a hilarious point. I made this little – I put this little poll out here, and I listed Austin Hedges. And did you see any of the comments on that?
Uh-uh.
One guy goes, dude, we got to go with four catchers. He's our best bullpen arm.
Yeah, it's true.
He goes, we may need him 3 days a week, you know, to come in and close a game out.
You know, I'm not sure.
So I had Hedges. I had Spores maybe. I don't think Spores because they put him on the IL. You also have someone like Miller. You go down to maybe Yuri or maybe Yuri Rodriguez. Hernandez. I mean, we love Hernandez. He throws 100. But he came up and walked in a winning run and walked the base. So, I mean, I don't know, but it's going to be made. Something's happening.
Well,
Can Miller go on the 60-day?
Sure, he can go on the 60.
I don't think he's coming back unless another injury happens, right?
He's not hurt, right?
No, we see him running around there. I mean, he's a phantom
hamstring
or something?
Yeah. Boy, you know, the move that makes the most sense is Austin Hedges.
Yeah, and that's a shame, but for this team.
It's just the move that makes the most sense. But having four catchers doesn't make sense. So, I don't know. I really don't, you know, and I think
and
that...
the moment we get off the air, that'll break.
Yeah, probably. But I would say Hedges 1, Jonathan Hernandez 2, Brad Miller 3.
Okay.
All right.
All right, let's do it. Guys, right after this, coming up with us is we're going to have Aiden Curry. He's going to join us right after this guy. All right, the guest of the day is brought to you by Frisco Rough Riders. Jeff, what's going on out of Frisco?
Well, this is it. This is their last week at home. They'll finish on the road this season. So if you're listening to this, you will probably be able to catch it. Hopefully the video will be out by Sunday and you can see it. But tonight, Dallas Stars night, postgame fireworks. Saturday the 9th, which is tomorrow, Dia de los Quesos. So you can get a Quesos de Frisco Sugar Skull figurine giveaway. It's always a fun little deal that they do when they're the Quesos de Frisco. I like that one. And then Sunday the 10th, fan appreciation night, postgame fireworks, good times for all. And if you are a big believer in saving dates, mark down April 9th, 2024. That is when Frisco plays its home opener next season. For more information, go to MILB.com/Frisco. And we really appreciate all that Frisco has done for the Rangers Today Baseball podcast this season. They've got a couple, they finish out the year as our sponsor, but we're not going to have more updates. So anyway, thanks to all the fine people out of Frisco.
All right, guys, and joining us right now from Hickory, North Carolina, it's Texas Rangers starting pitcher Aiden Curry, who is jumping up charts right now and climbing up the prospect rankings. Aiden, what's going on, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. It looks like it's dry there. Last night you got washed out, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it was in like the second or third inning. It came in pretty quick too. It was just out of nowhere and started downpouring. They got the tarp out early though, so.
Right. So Hickory is playing two tonight. And if all goes well, they will be celebrating a playoff berth.
Yeah. So I think we need to finish out this first game. I mean, we got a little bit of a cushion going into it. The bats were hot yesterday, so should be going into it 6-0. And then we got another one to focus on after that. But I think one's the number. So we'll be all right to celebrate.
That's fun. So you've been there for a couple weeks. You were at Down East. You had a splendid numbers there. What do you think has led to your success this season?
Just honestly, I think it's just a little bit of development as a pitcher. I mean, each year I've taken a pretty big step in terms of velocity, in terms of stuff. So I think just allowing that to just play, don't really think too much, and just attack the strike zone. I mean, in all honesty, it's not the big league, so you can get away with a few pitches here and there. So if it's just around the zone, you'll be all right.
What for the people who aren't familiar, what do you throw?
So I throw four pitches, four seam fastball, a slider, a changeup, and a cutter.
Is one of those your, I got to get a guy out?
The slider pitch, for sure.
Slider.
Out pitch, definitely slider. Throw to lefties and righties, but I kind of relied on it pretty big this year and got me a bunch of soft contact and some good swing and misses. So I've really starting to like the slider a lot. I mean, I picked it up last year, really. So it took a little bit to kind of actually get it to turn. I was throwing a little bit of a gyro ball, but it came a long way this off season and it played really well this year.
So how does a pitch develop? I mean, the Rangers I know are big into the pitch shapes and working with those things. Is it a matter of them just trying to match your biomechanics to the baseball? I mean, how does that come together?
It's kind of almost, for me, I feel like it's a little bit of a trial and error. Obviously there's kind of like the two different slider kind of movements. You have the big sweeper that's kind of been the hot stuff this year in the big leagues and throughout all of baseball. And then you have kind of like that gyro ball. So for me, it made more sense based off the fastball to try and get one to turn more into a sweeper. Mm-hmm. So then we just work through grips, work through mental cues. And that's really about it. And honestly, it kind of came out of nowhere this spring training where it became like a big sweeper. I think it was kind of like a short hard breaker. And then one game in spring training, it just started sweeping like crazy. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? So it was a little hard to control. And I was like, well, I mean, it's a champagne problem. I can work with a sweeper as long as it's continuing to sweep. And then after that outing, it just kept doing the same movement. So I was like, all right, I'll rock with that and just change my starting line and go from there.
That's kind of crazy. Just in the middle of a game. Oh, son of a bitch. It's this thing's a sweeper now.
Yeah. So it was, I didn't throw a lot of strikes that day because it was just going glove side. I was like, what the heck is going on here? It was crazy.
So what's your velo right now?
Right now, I'm kind of right around the 93, 94 range. Earlier in the year, I was hitting a little bit more fives, but we're starting to hit the dog days a little bit. So okay. Right in that 93, 94 range.
You know, your story's not traditional in how you got into professional baseball, kind of along the same path as Josh Steven, who we had on the show in July.
Yeah, absolutely.
June. I think they call you guys non-drafted free agents. It was that 2020 draft, only five rounds. You could only sign for 20,000. I think that was the maximum.
Yeah.
What led you to professional baseball over maybe going to college?
He was committed to Bucknell.
Bucknell?
Bucknell.
Yeah.
Bucknell.
Yep. We'll talk about that.
Good
basketball.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, it's always been a dream of mine to play professional baseball. And kind of when it was all happening, I was seen in the fall of 2019 by the East Coast scout for the Rangers, and things started to pick up a little bit. And COVID hit that February, and the Rangers were really the only ones that kind of stuck with me. So I kind of took it as like, well, it's a crazy time right now. I have the like the offer to take this non-drafted free agent contract and get in while I can. So I kind of knew that I wanted to play pro ball, and I didn't want to miss an opportunity. It could be the only one I get. So that's kind of where my head was at when I signed, where it was like, it would be silly to say no. And then let's say I do go to college, I get hurt, and I never play pro ball. And then I'm regretting that the rest of my life. Oh, I could have played. But so I didn't, not necessarily, I was thinking that far in the future, but I knew that I wanted to play pro ball, and I saw an opportunity, so I took it.
There was a decent chunk of guys who did that. But this was 2022, 2020 also. So you couldn't go straight to Arizona because minor leagues were shut down. So you didn't really get into it. What was instructs? Was that your first?
Yeah. So that year was a crazy long instructs. It was from September to the middle of November. I pitched a game on November 16th that year in 2020. It's been a while since I've played a game in November, especially coming from New York. I mean, there's no baseball going on in November. I'll tell you that. So, there's that 2 month instructs, but when we signed in June that year, we had just four months of just straight like meetings, Zoom calls. That's about it. Just working out at home and getting ready for instructs. So, I mean, there were a lot of guys there that year. And it was just chaos going on. Obviously, we had to get tested. Everybody had to wear their masks. It was a whole lot of crazy stuff going on.
Yeah. So when you showed up, for the people who don't know, you're 6'5". When you showed up, how much did you weigh?
Oh, I might have been 175, 180. Yeah. I was a string bean coming out of high school.
What was your top velocity then?
When I signed, I topped at 88. I was still kind of in that like 85, 87 range.
Okay. So yeah, we're not making fun of you. It's just, you know,
three years later, you're
hitting fives. What do you weigh? 205, 210? Probably
205 right now, right around that range, 205, 206.
So, I mean, you know, you can talk about all the things you want about being a professional baseball player. Nobody ever talks about like the weight room stuff, the nutrition stuff. And
oh yeah, it's a full package. You gotta do it all really well.
Did they just tell you to start crushing food? What did they tell you to do?
Yeah, it was kind of a mixture of both. I mean, when I signed, I was like, yeah, ran that 175, 180 range. And when I went home that offseason in November, it was eat everything and anything in sight and eat until I feel like I got to throw up. And so after that year, I was right around like that 192 after that offseason. So I put on a good amount of weight, probably like 15, 17 pounds. And then I did the same thing the year after that, just eat everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then mixing in the protein shakes, and then on top of it in the off season, you're working out a crap ton. So you just, you lift, you take creatine, and then you eat, and it's just rinse, repeat four times a day.
Well, I remember another New York guy, Joe Palumbo. Now he has Crohn's disease.
Yeah.
But he could never keep on weight. And so he was telling me that one spring training, he spent the off season, he would have a 4,000 calorie shake.
Oh my gosh.
It was a shake that had 4,000 calories.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And you know, it was just because he could never keep on the weight because of what turned out to be Crohn's disease. They discovered it. And anyway, but it's crazy. You hear about Michael Phelps, you know, he would eat like 6,000 calories a day or whatever when he was training for the Olympics and all this stuff. But
baseball players eat a lot.
Baseball players eat all the time. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's not the three meal day like the normal person. It's four, sometimes five, kind of depending, or like four and a half, because one of them's kind of just like that pregame light light meal.
Yeah.
But it's definitely weighs more than a snack, that's for sure.
Yeah. So we kind of got away from this. What do you make of this season for you? What do you think you've accomplished in terms of your future?
I think I set myself up pretty well. I mean, each year has been, from the first year to second year, it was a crazy jump. Or not really, actually. First year to second year was kind of like in the middle. And then that second season, and or technically second year, first season in 21, it wasn't great. I mean, wasn't throwing hard. I didn't really have great stuff, not great command. And then the off season, put on weight, got a little bit more feel, had a little more oomph on the ball. And then, last year was kind of that first real full year where it was like, okay, I belong here. I can get outs. I can get through innings. I can put up good numbers. And then this year it was like, okay, well, now the stuff's a little bit better again, but nothing really changes. You still got to command the zone. You still got to, trust your stuff. And then so kind of where I set myself up, I feel like coming from like rock bottom pretty much building up to here, I think I kind of almost expected it because I came in at 175, 6'4", and grew another inch and put on 30 pounds. So and to be truthful, I think there's still a little bit more weight in there. I think right around the like 220, 225 range would be really good. So that's going to, so it's rinse repeat for this off season to kind of set myself up for next year and keep going down the path year after year and hopefully eventually end up in the big leagues and stay there.
You came from down east to Hickory. You guys were kicking ass in down east pitching wise.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of two and three ERAs. You got the wide range of guys. You've got the $3.7 million bonus guy in Porter, but you had to start the year Jose Corniel, who you've rejoined in Hickory. Talk about that. That's got to be like a nice competition to have to see a guy there.
Yeah, it was fun. Every day we kind of just tried to put ourselves in a position to win. So if we gave up one, it was all right because our hitters would put up three. So then you're going out there. It's like, okay, I gave up one. I'm covering my five innings, my six innings, and then you hand it to the next guy, and that guy's going to do his job too. He's going to go through one or two, and then you bring in the closer, go home with a W. So, it was a lot of fun because hitters were on, pitchers were on, and we were winning. We were winning a lot. And so it's always fun to win. Nobody likes to lose, but it was a lot of fun because each day you go out, and the guy before you did well, so now you got to do well. So it just kind of rolled over throughout the week from starter to starter, reliever to reliever, and then kind of just went through that first half, and we put up some pretty good numbers, won by a good bit.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. This is what we do on our show. I ask the baseball questions, then John takes over and kind of asks you some little less baseball questions. So
more get to know
you. Sure. A little
absolutely,
more.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
More. Here we go, John.
Okay,
Fire away.
Yeah, look, and it's fascinating because you came out of that 22, I call it the 2020 class because there wasn't really a draft, but you know what? Yeah. From top to bottom, everybody that's come out of that 2020 has done well. It's been rare that someone hasn't succeeded. And you and Josh Stevens and y'all were two that were sound. It's amazing. But okay, I want to get in. You came out of high school. You went to Fordham Prep. Is that right? In the Bronx, New York.
Fordham Prep in the Bronx.
In the Bronx. Now, did you grow up? Were you from the Bronx? Is that where you grew up?
No, so I grew up in Ossining, New York. It's a town in Westchester, just about like 45 minutes north of the city. So train ride into school on the Metro North, and so it wasn't too bad. It's like 45-minute drive, 50-minute train ride. So
now I've got to ask this, and I just assume it. I'm assuming you grew up a Yankees fan.
Yeah, I grew up a Yankees fan. My mom and dad were both big Yankees fans. Well, my mom really. My dad kind of just knew that he couldn't go against her with the baseball. That's for sure. So she's a crazy Yankees fan. Started to kind of follow a little bit less now because now she's kind of following the Rangers. So But growing up, big Yankee household, and we weren't big Mets guys. That's for sure.
Okay. Who was your guy growing up that you liked?
I liked Derek Jeter a lot. That was the obvious one. But when I was really young, I really liked Babe Ruth. Cool. I wear number three because of it, even though I'm a pitcher. But that's awesome. So growing up, I'd always be number three, and then it just kind of happened that way. And really went away from it.
Was there a pitcher you liked?
At that point, I was still playing both, so I was still kind of all over Jeter. I mean, I was committed to Bucknell as a two-way. I was going to play outfield. I picked up outfield in sophomore year of high school. That's kind of when my growth spurt happened. I mean, I used to catch a bunch. So I'd pitch, and then I was like 6'1". The knees were starting to crack a little bit. I was like, I got to get out of here. I don't belong here anymore, that's for sure. Hands to the next guy.
So you go to Fordham Prep. Now, did you play any other sports, or were you just a baseball guy?
I played baseball. My freshman year, I ran cross country. And then my sophomore and junior year, I ran winter track and field. I did pole vault and the –
I was a pole vaulter. Pole vault.
I did pole vault. It was a lot of fun. I actually won the city championship my freshman year year.
Nice. How high did you go? Best I ever did was 12-6.
That year, I didn't ever get that high. I think the best I got was like – I ended up quitting sophomore year because the coach was like, it's either baseball or pole vault. I was like, that's a no-brainer. I'm taking baseball for sure. So I went with that route, and then I just started running the 4x2 and the 55 hurdles. But the best I got freshman year was 10-6. And then we didn't get to that sophomore season.
How long is the pole?
It's pretty long. Isn't
it 10-6?
Now you got to understand how old I am. The equipment this guy has right here is totally different from what I had. But it was long. Yeah,
you just have a tree branch.
Yeah, it was. You know what? The pole is longer than 10-6 or 11-6 or 12-6. We weren't going high enough to where you see those guys that go up over it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, our pole would have gone over the pole, and I'm sure yours would too when you got up.
Yeah, that height for sure.
Yeah, it was taller than that. I was not big enough to bend it.
Uh-huh.
I just rode it over. So that's how I did.
Sergey Bubka, he was like the best pole vaulter ever.
It was I used to watch that all the time.
Guy. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Bucknell. You were going to go to Bucknell. Golly, yeah. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
You were going to go to Bucknell. That's where you were committed. Did you have any other schools interested?
Yeah. I mean, when it came down, I think I had 7-8 offers. It came down to Dartmouth, Bucknell, and Seton Hall.
So you had some grades, I'm going to say. You were making pretty good grades.
I mean, Dartmouth was kind of like, what the hell's going on here? I like Bob Whalen's up there. I think he's still up there. I mean, we went up for that visit, and I remember walking around campus, and I was just like, man, I don't belong here. I might be smart, but I'm not that smart. And a girl from my middle school that went to Dartmouth, and I was just like, I don't belong in the same school as her, that's for sure. It was a really cool place up there, and the coach at Bob Whalen, I think he's still head coach up there. He was really nice, and it was a good visit. But yeah, high school, I mean, I had like a 3.8 and I had like a 1260 on the SAT. So nothing really, really mouth dropping or jaw dropping or anything crazy. I mean, it did the job, and kind of just, it was one of those grades where it was like, you don't really have to worry about, you know, talking to admissions to get them in.
Gotcha.
Okay, so we talked about how much baseball players eat. What is your favorite food? What type of food do you like to eat? What's your favorite?
Pizza is obviously a big one. Coming from New York, I mean, I'm very spoiled in that aspect. But there's this deli right by my house. It's pretty big in Westchester. It's called Rocky's Deli, and they have this sandwich that's called the Hashtag. And it's a chicken cutlet, hash brown, with bacon, egg, and cheese on it.
That sounds delicious.
It is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. If you ever visit New York and you want to take a trip up to technically Millwood, but if you ever want to take a trip up there, I would highly suggest that. I have a bunch of those.
You'll meet us there to have one of them sandwiches. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
When you get up to AA, we get out there and try to catch you guys out there too. When you get up to AA, you'll notice that I don't miss many meals. So that sounds like right up. Okay. So now that's your favorite food. You like that sandwich. You also like pizza. What's your favorite fast food? If you're in a pinch and you've got to eat fast food, what is it you like?
And really just about any of the burger place.
All right.
Like even except I don't really like McDonald's burgers. They don't really do the trick for me. I kind of stay away from McDonald's, but like if it's one of those real late extra inning games, I'll probably go to Wendy's or something or whatever it is, kind of where I'm at. I know Texas is big on Whataburger.
Damn right.
But here there's Wendy's. I haven't had Jack in the Box, but definitely kind of like a Bert, Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna ever try it. Maybe I'll take a look inside and then be like, yeah, I'm gonna go with something else.
My son has never really liked hamburgers, but he had a Whataburger the other day and loved it.
Yep.
And so now he's like into burgers, yeah. And he saw a Jack in the Box commercial. He's like, I want to try that. I was like, no, you don't.
No, yeah, you don't want to do that. Have you had a Whataburger? I mean, have you had a chance to? Or
yeah, so Arizona? it's not the Texas Whataburger, but they had one branched out in Arizona. It was like a 5-minute drive from Surprise. So
yeah.
I actually went there with Josh Steven that was there.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Now we go to your favorite home cooked meal. What's your favorite home cooked meal and who cooks it? Might be mom, might be grandma. You got a girlfriend maybe that cooks you something you like?
My dad cooks the food in the house for the most part. That's tough. He's got a pretty good spaghetti and meatballs or pasta and meatballs. His sauce is well done. Well done. When he just makes it in a giant pot and then freezes the rest, and then we have it for like we have leftovers forever. So we kind of branch off of it. We'll make like a chicken parm off of it or something like that. So definitely like my dad's. Yeah. My dad's pretty Italian. My mom's more on the Irish side. But I love Italian food for sure.
I'm with you on that.
So definitely the chicken parm my dad makes. That would be one from home.
We're going to get down to just a couple more, Aiden. We're going to get you out of here. First, we're going to do your spare time. Now, we know today you came from the golf course. So, you know, in your spare time, you play golf. You hunt and fish, anything like that?
No, I picked up golf just to get outside a little bit. I picked it up in May this year because I was like, all right, I got a lot of time on my hands. It's not the same as Arizona. Like, it's night games, you go in the morning. So, it's kind of you got the night games once the AZL starts, but for that extended spring training, that month and 2 months, you're playing at noon. So you get back to the apartments there and it's like 4 or 5 o'clock, you're just toast. And there's you don't want to go golf out there after that. So I picked up golf this year, and video games are big, show like TV shows, stuff like that, just something to watch. But definitely video games before, and then I was like, all right, that year before in Arizona, it was just go back, take a nap, play video games, sleep, same thing the next day. So that's why I kind of picked up golf to get outside a little bit, enjoy the sun. And I've started to really like golf.
Pitchers are usually good at golf. How good are you?
I shot my best yesterday. It was an 89, but I'm new to the sport.
Good. You could beat me right now. And I used to play it all the time. I'm telling you right now, that's good for where you're picking it up in May and shooting 89. You'll be a single digit handicap guy here in a couple of years, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I might go for my tour card if that's the case,
The best golfer in the system is Cole Wynn. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's all we hear from people.
Mike Maddox is a great golfer.
Yeah, coach, you're
pitching. He has a 10 career holes in one.
Yeah.
His brother Greg has only 6.
Yeah.
Greg has the advantage in Cy Young's and career victories, but Mike's got him on holes in one.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to Mike?
I've not, no. Not yet. I saw him a few times in spring training, never got the chance to really talk to him yet.
Good egg.
Keep doing what you're doing, and he will be all up in your stuff. Talking to you.
Yeah.
He's fun. He's a fun guy, but he does. Once you get on his radar, he's going to be right up there in the middle of your stuff, figuring out and giving you some things.
Yeah, we always
finish on this fun one.
Yeah, the fun one.
The fun one. This is a good one. Now that we've had some great answers, and I'll give you some examples. The question is, what is something that nobody knows about Aiden Curry? Now, some of the great answers we've had are like Jack Leiter, who cannot stand peanut butter, doesn't like it whatsoever. Don't know why. Doesn't like peanut butter. We've had
Brock Burke is a sleepwalker.
Yeah, Brock Burke in the big leagues. He's a sleepwalker. Gets up in the middle of the night and sleepwalks. We've had Davis Wenzel playing in AAA right now. Plays third base, shortstop. He got his finger chopped off when he was about 5 years old.
Tip of his finger.
Tip of his finger. What is something that nobody knows about Aiden Curry?
Ooh, I got a thing. That's tough. I mean, I could give you more of a fun fact while I'm
thinking. Fun facts count.
I bowled a lot in the off season, and my best score was 276.
Hey,
holy crud.
So, in El Paso, when I was driving down for spring training, we stopped there, and it was like 8 o'clock. My mom wasn't feeling too great, so she hit the hay early, and it was like 8:30. I was like, I'm gonna go bowling. Why not? So I had my own ball, and I went and I shot a 276. And there was a family there next to me that were like cheering me on. And
that's awesome.
It started really poorly. Like it was a split on a five, and then I picked up three on an open frame, and then I went and did just hit, I think it was 11 straight strikes or something. Oh, it was just, it was crazy. I hit a rhythm. I had my AirPods in and was just dialed in. So that was a lot of fun, but
forget golf, baby.
Yeah. Hey, so what, now do you bowl?
Ooh, I got a better one. I got a better one for the question. So in Christmas last year, I was doing an Instacart, and there I got hit by a drunk driver, and I didn't have a scratch on me, and their car went spinning out into a ditch, and they walked out with like bloody hands, like broken teeth, and the worst I got out of it was the hair on my hand was burned from the gas from the airbag, and that was it.
Oh my god!
It was. I don't know how it happened. They hit the front of my car like straight on coming around a turn in the middle of December, and I just got out of the car like nothing happened. It was like, it was unbelievable. I don't know how it happened. Someone's up there watching for sure, because it was unbelievable. I remember sitting there, and a guy was coming around the turn, and I was turning. I was like a minute walk from my house, and I thought they were going to go down these back roads just straight, and they kept trying to turn. I was like, oh boy, here we go. Buckle up. But so yeah, that's something that nobody really knows about me. I could not be here. I walked out of that car without a scratch on me. So. Wow. That's definitely something I would go
you
with.
You had somebody upstairs looking out for you, buddy. That is fantastic. Sure.
Did you follow up on the guy? Did he?
All I know is that he was charged with a DUI that night. That's for sure.
And he lost his teeth.
And he had a couple. And then he had to take a trip to the dentist after that. So.
Probably a couple.
Well, that is interesting.
That goes into our top five, I think.
You know, I got to ask, if you're a bowler, do you bowl with your pitching hand or do you try to?
So I do go righty, but I bowl with two hands. So all forearm. I think, what's the guy's name? It's the Australian bowler. I picked it up off of him. He was on a I remember. Afro.
That's a.
Yeah, he's also a two hand bowler. There's a guy but I picked from it up right down the street. From that guy.
There's a guy from right in our area who's a two-handed bowler, who's one of the best bowlers in the.
I remember seeing him in a YouTube video on Dude Perfect. They do a bunch of trick shots and stuff. I think they're out of Dallas too.
Yeah.
And he was on there. They were doing a bowling episode where they just did a crazy amount of bowling shots, and he was on there. So then I started watching his pro stuff, and I was like, "That looks like it's a lot better for the forearms. I'm gonna try and do that."
So and 11 straight strikes, you figured it out. Do you have your own bowling ball?
Yeah, I do. It's back at home. I didn't bring it this year, but yeah, I do have my own ball. It's I think it's 16 pounds.
How long is the drive from New York to Surprise?
Oh, it was 37 hours. That was a week trip for me. It was me and my dad. So from Austin, we went from Austin to Knoxville on day one, which was 12 hours. And at that time, my mom was living in Houston because she worked in a hospital over there.
Okay.
Now she's back in New York, but she lived in Houston, so she had her apartment there. So the next day, we went from Knoxville to Houston.
Okay.
Which
probably
was
another 12 hours.
It was 13 because we hit a little bit of traffic in Texas. That was no fun. And then we stayed there for 2 days to take a break. My dad flew back home to New York. And then me and my mom went from Houston to El Paso, which I think was like another nine or something like that.
It's got to be 9 or 10 from Houston, yeah.
Yeah, it was somewhere around like that 9 or 10 because we had to keep stopping because she had like a stomach bug going. So we had to keep stopping at the rest stops so she could go to the bathroom and stuff. And so then that next day she flew from El Paso to Houston, and I did the last 6 hours to surprise myself. Wasn't bad at all.
All right.
There you go.
That's a hell of a deal.
That is.
Oh yeah, that was a long drive.
Yeah, this has been fun, man. Hey, listen, we have guests on more than once. We're going to do it again another time. Certainly keep doing what you're doing out there, because you have turned a lot of heads. Your name's getting mentioned with a lot of the prospects coming up. It's been great to see the season you have, but we especially know you guys have busy schedules. Thanks so much for stopping down and coming out here and talk to us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure, and feel free to reach out. I got all off season. I have some free time then too. If you guys want to run it back and do this again, sure. I'm more than welcome to.
All right, absolutely. Man. You're cool, man. Appreciate
Aiden Curry, right-hand pitcher for the Texas Rangers. Hey, man, this guy's a stud. You need to watch for him. Aiden, thanks a lot, bud. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You Take too. Care. All right, down on the bus leagues next. Big thanks to Aiden Curry for joining us right there. Now it's time, guys, to go down in the bus leagues, and we'll talk about minor leagues, which are basically ending this week for Hickory and Down East, right?
They end, and then
Frisco.
Frisco the next week.
Right.
Triple A. Week after that.
Week after that. So let's go down. The Dominican Summer League and the Arizona Complex League, they're done.
Yeah, yeah. Instructs start Monday.
Yeah, they're starting quick.
Yeah, yeah. It's they're not going to have the college tour this year because it doesn't line up with anybody's fall practices.
So right.
It was just going to be a small group of guys, young guys. They're not going to play any games. They might play the Royals a couple times, and you know, just because they share the complex. And then in November, the Rangers are going to bring some hitters in for a little camp there in Surprise. So, boy, Instructs isn't like it used to be. Instructs used to be a grind. It was like another little season.
Yeah. But
they're really trying to specialize and hone in on more individual stuff.
And so there's guys that maybe through injury or whatever need a little more work.
Yeah.
And those are guys.
Well, you know, and on that end, you know, the Arizona Fall League roster should be announced soon. And the Rangers have some candidates of guys who did not get enough innings. Zach Kent might be a guy who pitches there.
Leiter, maybe?
Jack Leiter's a possibility. Depends on how many innings if they're comfortable with the innings, if he's comfortable with his delivery, if he wants to continue to work on it in games. So there's some, if not fall league, some winter ball opportunities.
Absolutely. All right, so we'll go to Down East. They're 29-34. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They've won a couple. Look, they're down 10 games in this half, but they won the first half.
They won the first half.
So they will be in the playoffs.
They're going to the playoffs, yeah.
And, so, you know, you still got Brock Porter down there.
He's pitching well. You know, like we just talked about with Aiden, that's just a pitching-heavy team. And,
right.
So that's good. I was just looking at some stats, and you know, our guy Anthony Gutierrez, who's had it since he's come back from his little wrist or elbow deal, whatever it was, in spring in May, he's done well, but he has 30 stolen bases this season. The guy
Gutierrez,
the guy can move. And then JoJo Blackman, who has been really struggling, has gotten his average over 200. He's gotten hot. He's a nice kid, a great defensive player.
Right.
He has a little pop. Anyway, that's good. That's good to see, because you know, offense has been in short supply there. Anyway, good. Finish on a strong note.
Yep,
if you will.
So we go to Hickory. That's high A ball. Hickory is 40-21, 7-3 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. Hey, they've got a 3.5 game cushion, which is why he's talking about they basically need one game to secure that playoff spot. So that's what they're finishing a game from the rain out tonight.
And they're ahead 6-0 in that game.
So they're probably gonna chances are they're not going to get swept this weekend, and if they do,
I mean, I think that he said the magic number is one.
So unless the other team scores seven runs,
they could clinch in the
first part of the day today.
Yeah,
and an interesting name and an interesting development there, Sebastian Walcott.
Yeah,
17 years old, playing in high A. He is the youngest player in there by a bit.
Yeah, yeah. He's the fifth 17-year-old to play for a full season of Philly this year. It wasn't so much that, hey, this guy needs to go straight to high A and skip low A, because he could honestly open the season next year at low A. But, you know, it's about doing the best thing for the player. And he does not speak Spanish well.
Right.
And the coaching staff and a lot of the players there, especially on the position player side, are Spanish speakers.
Right.
So they're giving him a taste in Hickory, where there are Latin guys obviously in Hickory, but it's just more of a better fit for him here to finish out the year, to see what it's like to get ready for a playoff game, to compete in the playoffs. So it's not like, oh my God, he's going to be in the majors and, you know, at 19. He might be,
yeah.
But it's more of just.
Do you understand how young he is, though?
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
guys there are young guys there.
Well, Aiden Curry's 21.
21. And yeah. he's young. And that's 4 years old, three, 4 years older right there. Yeah. I mean, look, he's not spit the bit either. He's only had 9 plate appearances. He's got a couple of hits. He's got 1 double. He's walked 3 times and only struck out twice.
Yeah, we'll get him on. He's going to go to Arizona for instructs, so we'll try to get him on.
Yeah, we had already reached out. So Sebastian's obviously someone we want to talk to. Let's go to Frisco. They're 30-30, the only minor league team that it looks like probably will not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're 4-6 in their last 10. They've lost one. They're 6 out right now.
Yeah.
A lot of good names still there. The one name right there. And look, as of today, we will be looking for the Rangers Today baseball. Rangers Today is going to have a new top prospect because my rule.
Oh, that's right.
My rule is you cannot play a day in the major leagues and be on my top 20 list. My number one prospect was Evan Carter. He is playing in the big leagues. If all goes the way it is and something doesn't happen before 7 o'clock tonight, he will make his major league debut.
Yeah.
He will be gone. That means there's a new number one job up for grabs. I'm not going to take bets on who it's going to be because a lot of people probably already know who that probably yeah. is. And he's playing right now in Frisco anyway. And he's done nothing to not earn this. A lot of people have him ahead of Evan now already.
Wyatt Langford,
who yeah. we're talking about, who's done well there.
Yeah, he's – The guy can just hit, so
he can hit.
And it seems like this is where he's going to be to start next year.
I would guess so.
I'd imagine
not coming up this year.
I'd imagine he'll be in major league spring training.
Yes,
sure. I don't know for sure, but I would think he would be. I think he's close. You know, you never know. These guys come at their own pace, and
yep.
Jack Leiter has pitched well the 2 times since he's been off the developmental list.
Right.
He probably has 2 more outings to go. And then, like we were just talking about minutes ago, they'll see if he needs to go and pitch somewhere in the off season just to build up the innings and go into the off season confident in his delivery. And then what they said, I asked somebody about it, and they're like, well, his delivery, there was really nothing wrong with it, like horribly wrong with it. They just needed some tweaks that they thought would help him.
Weren't they trying to slow him down a little bit?
Well, he's going in a more direct path to the plate, you know, stuff like that. And they like the way it looks, and obviously the early results are favorable. So anyway, we'll see what happens. That's one to watch here in the next couple of weeks.
Round Rock is 36-24. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They've won one. Oh, by the way, we got to talk about Abby Ortiz.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Abby Ortiz.
34 home runs now?
I thought 32.
No, he hit another one last night.
Oh, well. Well, they haven't counted it yet then because that game's not done.
Okay, that's what it is.
So, anyway, he's going to get over 100 RBIs. Over 30 home runs.
I know we jumped back to high A.
He's going to be the Rangers minor league player of the year. There's no doubt about it. Now that with Sajacy and Acuna gone,
right, and the other one a big one,
JP Martinez, yeah, in the majors. It's I think Sajacy would have won it,
yeah,
had he not been traded. But Sajacy's over 100 RBIs. He's been destroying it for the Cardinals Springfield.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, the trades that the Rangers made up at the deadline are really working out for the other teams right now.
Well,
that's what it's about.
I would say Jordan Montgomery and Chris Stratton have worked out for the Rangers.
Absolutely, they have. Yeah. And they, you know, Jordan had a bad outing last time, but it's the first one he's had here, and he's been consistent all year long. Yeah. He's a good left-handed pitcher. Yeah. Somebody I hope they bring
resign.
Back.
Yeah,
I hope absolutely. They get him back here. Stratton's somebody too that I like too. Okay, Round Rock is 36-24. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They've won one. They are 4 games up.
Yeah.
In the Pacific Coast League, they look like they're headed for the playoffs.
Yeah.
They've got some guys there that are I call them tweeners. They're right there that you think could help on a big. You got Foscue, who, by the way, is, I think, a big leaguer.
Yeah.
He's just not a place right now.
He had a huge game last night.
He did.
Two homers and two doubles.
Yeah. And then you have, like, Davis Wenzel, who has just so totally solidified himself back into the conversation. Yeah. Whereas even if it's not a place here, he might be somebody that could be dealt in the offseason to somebody who sees something there. Pitching-wise, you still have Cowan. Who, by the way, somebody brought that up to me. Is that a DFA candidate? I don't think it is. I think that some of it out of his work out of the bullpen and what they've put into him.
Yeah, he had a bad outing the other day, but that was his worst outing in a long, long time.
Okay.
Owen White hasn't had as good a year as the Rangers were hoping. I think he'll be an off-season project, just trying to get him his mojo back. And, guys come at their own pace and but he, he's on the 40. He made his MLB debut this year. Obviously, when you're on the 40 and you're running out of option years, or when option years start to go away, they need to get these guys straightened out.
Yep.
So that's why he and Cole are have received a lot of attention. But I don't think that either one is a. Owen definitely isn't a DFA candidate, and I'd be shocked if they did that with Cole in.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's too
shocked.
I would
write about it.
I'm telling you, Cowan would get claimed.
Oh yeah,
in a heartbeat. Somebody would take him in a heartbeat.
I mean, Glenn Otto got claimed. Yeah, right? All these guys are getting claimed. That the Rangers are DFA, and so that tells you that the Rangers have good talent, but they're
running out of room.
It was just a bad storm this last offseason with all the guys that ended up on the 40 man for a team that they weren't sure was going to contend, and then they do contend, and they don't have any real roster flexibility.
Yeah.
So anyway. We can write about that if they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. These bus leagues are going to get a little shorter as the season's end. Coming forward, a couple of them are still going to be playing next week, so we'll do that again. We're about to head out to the stadium. It is Friday. Tonight is Evan Carter's Major League debut. We got to head out there for that. There's a press conference. You guys will see some video of that. I'm going to get some video of him. If you haven't, you didn't know that yet, go to the YouTube channel, Rangers Today Baseball Podcast YouTube channel. There'll be some videos of Evan taking batting practice, running around out there, because I'm definitely going to get some of that while I'm out there.
Yeah.
Get those downloaded.
Yeah, yeah. And, so subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, subscribe to Rangers Today.
Absolutely.
$5.99 a month, $60 for 12 months, or $35 for 6. We say this all the time. It's good stuff. It's the entire organization, and you don't get the coverage anywhere else that we provide. So,
and I know you don't. And let me tell you, I don't think you realize MLB Trade Rumors links to him all the time. I mean, he gets linked to Lone Star Ball. He gets they treat the beat writer that you are. You are a source that a lot of major news outlets quote. I see Rangers Today all the time get linked into stories on other national sites that they'll link. Jeff Wilson from Rangers Today had this in his story a lot. They don't do that for me. But I'm not a professional sports writer.
This isn't my first rodeo. I've been covering the team for 16 years, so I come with a little built-in equity to this endeavor.
Absolutely.
And it's growing steadily, I guess, slowly but surely. We have a good loyal base of people who are we're really we really appreciate, and I've had a chance to meet some of them here, and just good people, good Rangers fans, good baseball fans, and we're a good source. And again, if you're subscribed to the Star Telegram for baseball coverage, you're pissing money away.
Yes, if that was your goal. Yeah,
we like Levi Weaver from The Athletic, but he's no longer covering the team, so The Athletic doesn't cover the team, and we're cheaper than The Athletic
They have nothing in the hopper about hiring anybody to call it.
Rangers Today, it's the place to be, baby.
There are 3 full-time beat writers.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, for a team that was been in first place all year long, there are 3 full-time beat writers.
Right.
That's it. You, Kennedy, and Evan.
Yep.
And that's who's been here all season long. Guys, we're done. Good luck to Evan Carter tonight, and hopefully the next week we're going to be talking about some good things with Evan Carter. But until then, guys, we'll see you at the yard. Stop it.